Hey everyone, welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a weekly podcast about lifestyle and healthy eating. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative yet entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
We'll cover everything but the kitchen sink. Each week, we'll discuss topics ranging from how to protect yourself from developing cancer, spicy foods to rev up the libido, to caring for your palliative grandfather with Alzheimer's.
We'll also delve into more complex issues like, what the heck is oat milk? Why doesn't my butt fit into these jeans? And every guy's favorite question, will eating spinach really make it bigger? Join us each week as we strive to educate, enlighten, and entertain you.
Most people have some understanding of their fitness level and body fat percentage. Have you ever considered your liver fat percentage? Fatty liver, otherwise known as non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, is becoming a global epidemic in the last few decades. One third of the adult population in North America has fatty liver, and many don't know it. 1 in 10 children also have it, which demonstrates that it is not caused from alcohol intake. When the documentary Super Size Me was released, it showed the damage that fast foods such as fries, burgers, and soft drinks can have on the body. The cardiovascular and immune system are significantly affected by ultra-processed and fast foods. The liver processes toxins in the body, and when fed a big proportion of ultra-processed foods with high fructose corn syrup, refined oils, sugary or sweetened beverages, our insides pay the price of that convenience. Join Rob and I as we discuss fatty liver and how to put your liver on a diet. Episode 39, Fatty Liver, How to Put Your Liver on a Diet.
Oh, do we need to do that? Fatty liver.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. I don't really know what it means.
It's amazing. You know, I've been working as a dietitian for many years. Anyways, in the last two decades, and especially the last decade, the number of referrals for patients with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease has just skyrocketed.
Really?
For me. And yeah, and it's really interesting because we're going to get into all of this, but there's no pill to take with that. It's lifestyle. And that's the gold standard, is diet and exercise is the intervention and the way to help it.
Oh, interesting. I always thought liver was like an alcohol-related issue.
Yeah, I think most people do.
And it is, right? I mean, alcohol does give your liver some issues.
Oh, absolutely. It can compound the issue. But the fact that 1 in 10 children have non-alcoholic fatty liver just shows that it's not an alcohol-related issue. It's a diet-related issue.
Interesting. Okay. Well, this will be a eye-opening episode, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I think most people have an idea of maybe their body fat percentage or, you know, their fitness level, but we don't think about our liver and the fact that 2% is optimal for liver fat, and many people have way more than that, and it's not something that you would actually measure like you do with your scale in your bathroom. Maybe eventually somehow we'll be able to measure our liver fat, but
my watch doesn't do that.
No, I don't think so.
There's no function for my it's my liver, my fatty liver percentage at today. Oh, it's up to 6. I better do some more laps in the pool or something.
That's right. Well, it's actually a lot of times it's people for patients, it's diagnosed kind of inadvertently. I think they get an ultrasound because they have pain in their abdomen or some, you know, kind of a feeling of pain. And so they'll have an ultrasound and then the radiologist might say to the GP, you know, there's fat around their liver and so it's kind of, then they have blood tests to show that their liver enzymes are elevated.
And do you think was the pain from the fatty liver, do you think?
Yeah, that could be part of it, nausea, kind of, yeah. Some of the symptoms would be fatigue and nausea, dark urine. If it progresses to a worse case of liver problem, then you get yellowing of the skin, like jaundice.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, that's usually a liver thing.
Yeah. So, wow. Okay. So we're going to talk about why it's a growing epidemic.
Okay.
and what the liver does, like what functions the liver has in our body. And we're definitely going to talk about 7 ways to put your liver on a diet.
Put it on a diet. That's an interesting way to put it. So I'm curious to see what that's all about. All right, let's get her started.
Do you remember the movie Super Size Me?
I do. That movie was awesome. I mean, scary as hell, but just a really unique...
Eye-opening.
Yeah, and I mean, it was entertaining. The guy was pretty funny, but the whole premise of the movie is just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is like what's really going on out there. And for people who haven't seen it, it was like this guy who's like a documentary filmmaker guy just ate nothing but McDonald's for what, like 3 months or a month, or I don't know, whatever the time period was, but that's all he ate. 3 meals a day was just McDonald's.
Yeah.
And they did like medical tests, like, I don't know, he had like a medical workup before he started just to see what all his like numbers were.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he was finished, they did the test again and it was unbelievable. Like the changes in his body just from like what the McDonald's did to him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the fact that you
McDonald's
know,
and or other fast foods, there's nothing specific about McDonald's. It was just the fact that he was eating greasy burgers and fries every day that
and pop.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say about it?
Oh, yeah. Just his blood tests and medical workup. In addition to gaining abdominal fat, his liver enzymes went through he developed fatty liver.
Which is common from eating that kind of food, I guess.
That's why it's a growing epidemic. That's why it's a growing epidemic. The major damaging factors to a liver, especially for fatty liver, is sugar, cholesterol, high sugary, high fatty cholesterol foods.
Right.
The other damaging things are alcohol, medications, and viruses. But with diet and lifestyle, it's, sugar, cholesterol are the big ones.
Okay.
And his quote is, "This is the best part of the day when I get to be fat on the bed with my quart of Coke."
Who said that?
Morgan Spurlock, the person who was in Super Size Me.
Oh, really? Okay. Made it.
Yeah. And did you hear what I said? Is like, be fat on the bed with a Coke. And that sums it up, actually, the whole kind of it. And we'll talk more about the specifics, but there's been evidence to show that the sleep, like, so there was that's also related. There was a study of 5,011 Chinese adults with fatty liver, and there was a high prevalence of late bedtime snoring and daytime napping over 30 minutes a day for those people with fatty liver. So, you know, kind of oversleeping, like being sedentary, is part of the issue too with fatty liver. And Coke, like drinking the pop. So pop and other sugary beverages like the coffees, the flavored coffees. So the soft drinks, the juice, all of those can be a part of why your liver gets to be a fatty liver.
Like sugary drinks. Is that kind of where you're going with that? Yeah,
okay. Absolutely. So the amount of people in the world, so it's a global epidemic growing. 2 billion people worldwide have fatty liver.
Wow.
So 1/4 of the world's population has fatty liver. A lot of people don't know about it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And 100 million in the States and 7 million in Canada.
Holy moly. Yeah, that's a epidemic for sure.
Yeah, and it's doubled. Like the rate has doubled in the last 20 years. So you wonder, well, you know, why?
And what's the danger of fatty liver? Like okay, so I got fatty liver, what does that mean?
Well, it's actually good indication that something else is going on with your body. You might be also more predisposed to diabetes, or you might have prediabetes. You likely have elevated triglycerides, because that's a really an indication of fatty liver developing. Obesity, metabolic dysregulation. So if your liver's not able to do its work, then your metabolism is affected. From what I see, when people drink a lot of pop, if they drink a pop a day or more, they have a harder time losing weight. They're more likely to be overweight or obese, and their metabolism, like they're tired and their level of energy can be affected.
Okay, good to know.
And that's a good first place to start with someone is, you know, get rid of the pop or reduce how much you're having. And that really makes a huge difference.
Okay.
Part of it is the sugars. It's the high fructose corn syrup is a big issue. And the research is still out there about, is it actually that or any sugar? But the thing is, there's no need to include high fructose corn syrup in a healthful diet. So basically including those like foods with those may increase your risk of health issues like diabetes or fatty liver.
Right. Now, is that stuff you said, high fructose corn syrup, is that in pop?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Do you know what it's in?
What do you mean what it's in?
Well, 80% of ultra processed foods contain added sugar.
Oh, I see.
And a lot of times that added sugar is the high fructose corn syrup.
It's a form of sugar. Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's not just in sweet foods. It's in pizza. It's in peanut butter. It's in crackers.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a something to like preserve it?
It's a flavoring.
A flavoring.
Yeah. And it's a cheap one.
Huh.
So yeah, it's in, it's widespread in the diet, especially in ultra processed foods. So it's not in whole minimally processed foods. So it's not in fruits and vegetables and whole grains and,
right,
you know, nuts and seeds.
It's added.
It's not in, you know, eggs, or it's not in fish, chicken. It's in ultra processed foods.
Right.
So there's like the sweet ones are like, it's in pop, most like every pop, candy, it's in cookies, it's in juice, it's in yogurt, the flavored yogurts.
Yeah, for sure. Makes sense.
It's in protein bars. It's in protein powders for smoothies, like protein smoothies, energy bars, granola bars. It's in ketchup. It's in barbecue sauce. It's in salad dressings. It's in pizza, crackers, peanut butter, soup.
Sounds like you could just go on and on.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. And that's a frustrating thing with, people, if they're diagnosed with fatty liver and then they want to reduce their high fructose corn syrup, it's really hard because it's widespread in our diet. If you are opening a package and eating food that way, it's probably, if it's made in a factory, it's probably going to have this, extra sugar.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But you know what? The liver is a very robust organ. It's amazing because this is reversible. So the liver is a power source. It's an engine and it's a pharmacist in our body.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How so?
I got that stat from liver.ca. So the liver organization in Canada.
Right.
It's a power source because it digests and metabolizes our nutrients. So when we eat, it goes through the liver.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's an engine because it drives the body's systems, and it's a pharmacist because it processes the medications, it processes vitamins, the herbal remedies, it processes everything that we put into our body.
Right. It's a pretty important organ.
Yeah, but it is very hardy, and actually 80% of the people with fatty liver can reverse it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And the other 20% are out of luck?
Well, what happens is the fat cells replace liver cells, and then if it goes on, inflammation happens, and then fibrosis. So that means that you're getting scar tissue, and then it progresses, and then the liver has scar tissue and develops cirrhosis, which is like the end state. Cirrhosis of the liver is what alcoholics get, and people with hepatitis. So,
right.
So the scar tissue, it's irreversible, but if it's fatty liver and it hasn't progressed with that scar tissue, it is reversible. So I said, as I mentioned, 80% of people with fatty liver can reverse it, and it's lifestyle intervention, diet and exercise.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a good thing to be aware of for sure. Hey, I do have a question for you in regards to, we were talking about the sugar in drinks and stuff.
Yes.
All of the apple cider that we're making, is that, would that sugar be considered dangerous as far as like consuming on a regular basis, or is it the added sugar? Because it's just pressed apples, and but they're sweet, right?
Yeah.
So is that something we need to watch? Because we're going to be drinking that stuff more.
Well, it's like any juice. Juice is because, like, remember, I think we've talked about this before with, like, you take one orange and make a cup of juice. How much juice do you get out of one orange?
Yeah, not very much.
You get about an eighth of a cup.
Yeah.
So you need like eight oranges
right.
to make a cup of juice.
Gotcha.
And you're getting rid of the fiber. So it is concentrated source of sugar. It's not great. I mean, they haven't teased out for sure if it's high fructose corn syrup, but because ultra processed foods are like 80% of them have that, it's a big issue in our society.
Right.
And they've actually found that in a 2012 analysis of 43 countries, the rates of diabetes are 20% increased where high fructose corn syrup is available.
Okay. That sort of, yeah, it's related, right?
Yeah. So it's like the high fructose corn syrup is that it's the factory made, like it's taking the corn syrup and putting it into food. So the apple cider we have doesn't have that added,
right?
But it's still sugar. And it's still fructose.
Okay.
Because it's coming from fruit.
So just be careful with that. It's not maybe as bad, but it's still something to be aware of.
Well, it's, we shouldn't be drinking more than like a 6 ounce amount in a day.
Okay.
Of the juice, of any kind of juice. So that's like.
But if I don't drink, I mean, I don't typically drink juice. So now I'm going to be drinking it more often. So is that, I should be careful.
Well, I mean, water's the best beverage, and so I wouldn't have a lot of excess juice.
Okay. That's the simple answer.
Yeah, and also, if you put it into something, say if you put it into a smoothie, and you're adding other things like protein and the berries and the fat with it, then that would be a bit better way to consume it than just on its own.
Right. Okay.
With like blood sugar spikes, like if you have diabetes, if you take a swig of juice without any other food, it's just a shot of simple sugar. So it can affect the blood sugar easily.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mentioned it's reversible with diet in the stages before cirrhosis.
Right. So like before your liver's.
Before it's got that scar tissue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting because the most common cause of death with people with fatty liver is cardiovascular disease and heart disease and not liver disease.
Say that again.
The most common cause of death in people with fatty liver is cardiovascular disease and heart disease, not liver disease.
Oh, but they're all related because it's like...
fat in the
your
system.
Your arteries are all like clogged and it's fat.
Exactly.
It's all lifestyle.
I think, and that's the thing. That's the, it's kind of confusing because it's like, well, is it liver disease or is it heart disease? Well, it's all related and our liver has to process everything that goes through our body. So it gets clogged up with fats.
Right.
If you have too much, well, sugary foods actually and fatty foods. So it's funny, not funny, but the low fat, high carb trend, that actually promotes the development of fatty liver.
Really?
Yeah. So low fat, high carb. There's evidence too, to if you have high fat, high sugar, and you add high cholesterol to the mix, the cholesterol accelerates the process that causes inflammation in the liver.
Oh, really?
So there's elements there of, you know, if you think of eating a fast food meal, you're eating the burger and the bun and the fries and the Coke. So you think the burger is it's got cholesterol and fat. The bun is like, it's got the simple sugars, like the white flour sugars. And then the fries, they increase the insulin response. Similarly, the beverage or soft drink or Coke do the same thing.
Okay, interesting.
Now let's talk about 7 ways to put your liver on a diet.
Yes, let's do that.
So number 1 is reducing your high fructose corn syrup intake. So how would you do that?
Well, read the label and don't eat foods that have it in there. Make your own ketchup. I don't know. Just be aware of where it is to begin with. And
right.
Try to
the
limit
dose
those foods.
Makes the poison, right?
Exactly.
So how much are you eating of that? So it's like, you know, if most of the time you're eating minimally processed whole foods and you sometimes have a bit of ketchup on something, it's probably okay. But if you're eating fast food a lot, if you have ultra processed foods, packages that you're opening, and that's your, you know, daily intake is a lot of ultra processed foods, you're most likely getting a lot of that high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two is reduce your intake of fast food.
Well, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest contributor, right?
Actually, I think pop and juice and sugary beverages is a huge contributor.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well,
because look at the epidemic in the last 20 years. One of the biggest changes is everyone's got a beverage in their hand all the time. Even kids. Kids have juice boxes or they're drinking things. And really, it used to be water. We just like, you know, running around outside enjoying.
Yeah, sucking it out of a hose or whatever and licking puddles. And
right. Or just drinking water and not so much pop and juice. I think that's a big contributor.
Well, that's a huge industry, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Number three.
Number three of 7 ways to put your liver on a diet is eating more cruciferous vegetables.
Okay, so your broccoli, cauliflower, what else is there? Radishes, are they cruciferous?
Oh, they're really good. They're so good for your, yeah, and beets actually too.
They're cruciferous. Okay, interesting. I didn't know that they were.
We'll have to look that up, but I know cabbage, Brussels sprouts, arugula, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, radishes are like excellent for helping provide the elements to help with your liver.
Nice.
And the other one is sulfur containing foods. So
that's number four.
Number four.
For those of you who are keeping track.
That's right. And part of it, the cruciferous vegetables, they have the sulfur. So that's part of it. And then the other ones are garlic and onions and leeks. And there's a super antioxidant that is within all of our cells that gets depleted with age and trauma, stress, and by eating junk food, and that's called glutathione. Have you heard of glutathione?
I have heard that. Isn't that a supplement?
No, it's actually, it's naturally in our cells, but it's also rich in sulfur plant foods.
Okay. So, I've definitely seen that word somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that is one also that we want to make sure that we're getting a lot of those in. So if in 2 weeks you can actually reduce, you can remove 50% of the fatty liver, like the fat in the liver in 2 weeks by completely rehauling, like overhauling the diet and
eating nothing but cauliflower,
no,
and garlic
quite.
And kale.
Well, maybe like not going to the fast food restaurant.
It's kind of like the opposite of the supersize me where you ate nothing but McDonald's. If you want to reverse that, you got to eat nothing but cauliflower.
Wasn't there the cabbage soup diet?
Well, yeah. See,
we talked about that on the diet one.
Did we say that about the cabbage soup diet? How to be really good for fatty liver? See, the thing back in the 50s when that was popular is probably no one had fatty liver because there was no McDonald's back then. That's the irony, right? It was before its time.
No, there was McDonald's. Episode 12 was Diet Trends Through the Ages. And we did talk about the cabbage soup diet, but you know, you need other elements to your
Absolutely,
diet too,
yeah.
right? But I'm just saying that it is very good, the cruciferous vegetables and also the garlic, onions and leeks, the sulfur, anything that's like sulfur smelling in a food is, it's got that sulfur and that's really, really good for your liver.
I wonder if the guy in the Subway diet got fatty liver. It's kind of a similar concept, hey?
Yeah, I wonder.
Probably. I mean, eating all that kind of, I mean, it's a little bit better than McDonald's, but similar kind of getting cold cuts and cheese and white bread.
Yeah. And
mayonnaise.
The pop, I wonder. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There was a study in 2020, Dr. Michael Caron, and they showed that mice developed fatty liver within a month.
Within a month?
Yeah. It's the same as Super Size Me.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's similar. I mean, Dr. Friedman from Mount Sinai, he's a liver specialist, and he has a quote, high fructose corn syrup can lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in three ways. It can increase the amount of fat made by the liver, it can increase the inflammation in the liver, and it can affect how your liver metabolizes. And so then you end up with more belly fat and abdominal fat.
That makes sense. I mean, if you're not going to eat well, you have to expect that it's going to have an effect on your body.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There was another study of 9,000 adults. It was a cholesterol study, and it 9,000 adults for 13 years. And the higher cholesterol, people that ate more cholesterol in their diet that were hospitalized had liver cancer and cirrhosis. And so because the liver tries to rid cholesterol by dumping it into the bloodstream. And so people that have too much cholesterol in their diet can, it can lead to problems with liver.
Oh, that's, yeah, interesting. All right. So we move on to number five on our list?
Yeah. Number five is the healthy fat foods.
This is things you should be doing.
Seven ways to put your liver on a diet.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So number five is healthy fat foods. So the healthy fats are in?
Nuts, seeds, fish, avocados.
That's right. That's right. And episode 23 was fats, grease, and oil. And we talked all about different fats. So that's another one to go back to.
Yeah, yeah. And olive oil.
Yeah.
Flaxseed oil.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're not cooking the flaxseed oil. So the healthy fats. And that actually number six kind of ties into that because it's fish, like the omega-3 fats that are like the fish is high in omega-3 and we need that ratio to change. So have more omega-3 and less of the omega-6 and less of the saturated and less of the trans fats. So more like fish and nuts and seeds and avocado and olive oil. So the healthful fats are what we want to have more of to help with our liver.
Right. Okay.
And even, you know, if you do have meat and a chicken and beef, you know, look at where it's coming from. How is it raised? Those things can all affect the quality of the meat.
Right.
Number seven of seven ways to put your liver on a diet. So whole grains, and that's going to help with lowering your blood cholesterol. Remember, we talked all about fiber in our episode.
We talk about fiber every week.
Do we?
It seems there's a recurring theme here. If you're paying attention and listening to every episode.
Absolutely. Episode 17 is all about fiber. And whole grains is a really important piece of the puzzle because with oats or any foods that have more fiber, you're going to help lower your blood cholesterol and your blood sugars.
That makes sense.
So we want to get our fiber level up. And I think in that episode, we mentioned how 95% of the population in North America is not getting enough fiber.
Right. So we need more whole grains and all the other things on the list. Like I said, it's the recurring theme. We talk about this almost every week, just eating that healthy diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna cure all your ailments.
Well, it'll definitely help. And, you know, if you follow the seven ways to put your liver on a diet, you will naturally lose weight too, especially if you do eat fast food a lot or you have ultra processed foods in your diet. If you start to include the cruciferous vegetables, the sulfur containing bulbs, healthy fat foods, the fish and the whole grains, if you're getting more of those whole good, like minimally processed foods, you're going to naturally lose weight. And you don't want to lose more than 3 pounds a week, because any more, like a higher amount of rapid weight loss can be dangerous and bad for the liver, because having all that fat flood into the liver it's too much at once.
Yeah. It's kind of shocking your body probably. And maybe, I don't know, that's how I look at it.
Yeah. It's just, you don't want to lose weight super rapidly. Like 3 pounds a week is more, you know, safer to as a
Like a rule of thumb kind of.
Mm-hmm. But it's like you see when people do start to lose weight and start to get better eating habits, their fatty liver starts to resolve.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a healthy diet. Everything starts working better. You feel better. You sleep better. You function better.
There's another, if your homocysteine is raised in your bloodstream, it could indicate possibly like a deficiency of B12 and folic acid. And that can also contribute to inflammation of the liver. So if you have a high level of homocysteine, that's also, I think we talked about in the anti-inflammatory diet and inflammation in the liver, in the body. And our liver, because it's the engine and a power source, it can be an indicator of inflammation in the whole body. And if there's inflammation in the liver, that's not good, because then you can be progressing into that scarring of the liver and that irreversible damage that happens with cirrhosis.
Yeah, you don't want to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you have fatty liver, you can reverse it. You know, 80% of the people with fatty liver can reverse it. And within 2 weeks, you can remove about 50% of that extra fat.
That's amazing. Yeah. But you can also like put it back on there in 2 weeks if you're eating nothing but fast food and not having a good diet.
Oh, exactly. It's not like a temporary fix at all. It's I didn't mention, but the most common cause of liver transplant worldwide is fatty liver.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's not actually a cure if the lifestyle doesn't change.
Yeah, you're totally.
Because it's a Band-Aid.
You can wreck the solution. New one too.
Yeah, exactly. So it's important to be conscious of trying to get those triglycerides down, like getting a better cholesterol profile, getting your blood sugars under better control. All these things can help your liver not have so much fat.
You got to love your liver.
That's right.
That's the bumper sticker.
That's right.
Love, it could be like a little heart with a little, like a little, whatever the shape of a liver is, a little liver shaped thing beside it. That'd be the, you know, love your liver, treat it well.
That's right.
Be nice to it.
Yeah. It's a hearty organ. It's about the size of a football.
Yeah. It's a big one.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've heard of, like cleanses for your, there's lots of different cleanses. It's kind of like a fad sort of thing that's around, or trend, whatever, but is there like a liver cleanse?
That's a good question. It's kind of like the soap doesn't need to be cleansed either, because actually the liver is, that's what it does. It cleanses the body. So if you're eating, you know, more cruciferous vegetables and sulfur containing bulbs like the garlic and onions and leeks, and you're eating all these supportive foods to your body and your whole health and your liver, that's going to naturally help your liver work better and
right.
Get rid of that fat. So you don't need something that's in a bottle or in a pill that is a liver cleanse, because your liver has to process that, and it might not be,
it's true.
There might be ingredients in it that are heavy metals or something that is not supportive to your liver. So like anything that you put in your body, it goes through your liver to be detoxified. So a liver cleanse, it's what the liver does. And it's just like, it's the analogy is soap doesn't need to be cleansed either.
Yeah, no such thing as dirty soap. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Interesting. Is there anything else you want to add?
Just the thing about the sleep too, is that was really interesting to read, because having not like a poor quality sleep or not getting enough sleep, snoring and napping more than 30 minutes in the day can all be associated with fatty liver also.
Really?
Is that...
Like, what am I trying to say? Like sleep alone can contribute to it, or people who tend to nap a lot also tend to eat a lot of bad food? Like, do you know what I'm...
Hard to tease all that out. I don't think that's...
Stop teasing.
So sleep problems and diet, episode 16, we talk all about how to help get a better sleep by eating better.
Right.
So, Rob, will you try to do the 7 ways to put your liver on a diet?
Well, Sandra, I think I already am. We eat pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the cruciferous vegetables, like daily, I think we are including those daily. We definitely include the sulfur-containing bulbs, like garlic, onions, or leeks, daily. And yeah, healthy fats, like the nuts and seeds daily. We eat fish quite often through the week. Whole grains daily with the lots of fiber in the whole grains. And we're not big fast food eaters. We do occasionally when we're on the road. And I think we should do an episode about traveling.
Road food.
Eating well on the road, because that's
so hard. Yeah.
And then definitely, I mean, we do eat some ultra processed foods, but it's not a huge proportion of the diet.
No, I binge on them once in a while. And sugar too is maybe something I could lower a little bit.
Yeah.
There's odds here and there. But yeah, we do pretty well.
Yeah, that's a good idea though, the sugar. I mean, that's a big contributor. And the cholesterol levels, like if you have ever had high triglycerides, that's a big indicator that, you know, your liver might be getting fattier than it should.
Right. Love your liver.
Love your liver.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for your information. That was a lot to process.
Just like your liver does every day.
I was just going to say that. That's funny. Awesome. Well, hopefully everyone got something from this. We appreciate you listening. And tune in next week while we talk about, what are we talking about next week?
The next
item up for bids. Mm-hmm. Yes. Something really, really good. Okay. Have a good week, everyone. Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.